Turn with me now in your Bibles to the Old Testament book of Leviticus. Leviticus is one of those books that I hope you've read, but maybe it's not one that you've memorized much from. Maybe it's not one that you go back to all the time. But I hope that after tonight, you'll appreciate it a little bit more. I know that going through and studying this book in seminary really gave me, especially as we think about the biblical themes and theology that's in it, really gave me a greater appreciation for it. I hope that I can whet your appetite tonight to go a little deeper in it. So we will be in Leviticus chapter 7. We'll be looking particularly at verses 11 through 15 and around there, but for context, I want to begin reading in verse 1 and read through verse 21 of chapter 7 of Leviticus. Let us hear now God speak to us. Leviticus chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. Likewise, this is the law of the trespass offering. It is most holy. In the place where they kill the burnt offering, they shall kill the trespass offering. And its blood he shall sprinkle all around on the altar. And he shall offer from it all its fat, the fat tail and the fat that covers the entrails, the two kidneys and the fat that is on them, by the flanks and the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidneys he shall remove. And the priest shall burn them on the altar as an offering made by fire to the Lord. It is a trespass offering. Every male among the priests may eat it. It shall be eaten in a holy place. It is most holy. The trespass offering is like the sin offering. There is one law for them both. The priest who makes atonement with it shall have it. And the priest who offers anyone's burnt offering, that priest shall have for himself the skin of the burnt offering which he has offered. Also every grain offering that is baked in the oven and all that is prepared in the covered pan or in the pan shall be the priest who offers it. Every grain offering, whether mixed with oil or dry, shall belong to all the sons of Aaron, to one as much as the other. This is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer to the Lord. If he offers it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mixed with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, or cakes of blended flour mixed with oil. Besides the cakes as his offerings, he shall offer leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering. And from it he shall offer one cake from each offering as a heave offering to the Lord. It shall belong to the priest who sprinkles the blood of the peace offering. The flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering is a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offers his sacrifice. But on the next day, the remainder of it also may be eaten. The remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day must be burned with fire. And if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering is eaten at all on the third day, it shall not be accepted, nor shall it be imputed to him. It shall be an abomination to him who offers it, and the person who eats of it shall bear guilt. The flesh that touches any unclean thing shall not be eaten. It shall be burned with fire. And as for the clean flesh, all who are clean may eat of it. But the person who eats the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offering that belongs to the Lord while he is unclean, that person shall be cut off from his people. Moreover, the person who touches any unclean thing, such as human uncleanness, an unclean animal, or any abominable unclean thing, and who eats the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offering that belongs to the Lord, that person shall be cut off from his people. As far as the reading of God's holy word, let us now pray. Our God, as we come to your word, instruct us in its meaning. Help us to understand as those who are no longer living under the economy of the Old Testament in which these sacrifices were offered, what it looks like for us as those living after the coming of Christ to offer sacrifices of thanksgiving unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, my family and I, we went and we helped some individuals move. And afterward, we were very thirsty, and I told my children, we're going to Sonic. We're heading to Sonic. They were excited. So we went to Sonic. I ordered up what they wanted, what I wanted. And as I was handing them back to them, as I was getting them from the window, handing them to the back seat, they were taking them readily. This is yours, this is yours. And I went with the classic dad line. What do you say? What do you say? What do you say? Maybe sometimes I'll do it with a little ear. What do you say? Now they know it's either please or thank you. This time they got it right. Thank you. Now, I was happy to hear that. I know they were thankful, but sometimes we just say that. We want to remind our children that they need to express that. And so as we come to this text tonight, I want you to hear that God is kind of saying, what do you say? What do you say? Not that he needs it from us. No, but he does desire, as a loving Heavenly Father, to hear, thank you. Thank you. Now, we as God's children ought to say thank you to God more than we do. I'm not here to guilt you into to doing anything. It's just a fact. We take what God has given us, and by nature we go and we use it. And we do thank God, yes, but we need to take time to also meditate upon what God has given us. Not only is God our creator, we wouldn't be here without him, but he's also our sustainer. We live and move and have our being because of him. Your heart is going to beat so many times while you're here because God is ordaining it to beat. But not only that, as God's people, he has redeemed us. He's given us life, but he's given us new life in Christ. And so they start adding up. And God doesn't simply just give us new life, but he calls us to himself and he says, take the new life that I've given you and enjoy it in my presence, now and forevermore. That's why one of my greatest joys is being right here. Yes, because I get to be with you, but most importantly, because I get to be with God. God gives us so much. He says, I am going to give you new life, the one who gave you life, and I'm going to call you into my presence so that you can enjoy it. But do you think God cares how we thank him? Well, he certainly did here. He gives instructions for how he is to receive thanksgiving. Leviticus is an instruction manual for worship given to the priests. Central to the book of Leviticus is chapter 16, the Day of Atonement. That's the pinnacle. The Day of Atonement. That day once a year when that sacrifice for atonement would be offered, where the blood would be sprinkled, pointing forward to the great atoning sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are five distinct sacrifices that are enumerated in the book of Leviticus. We'll talk about those five briefly, but also talk about one in particular, the peace offering for Thanksgiving tonight. And as we do so, I want you to see that there is an Old Testament offering for Thanksgiving, but also a corresponding New Testament offering for Thanksgiving. So let's look first at the Old Testament offering for Thanksgiving. I mentioned there are five different offerings in the Old Testament, particularly given in Leviticus. There are three for sin, the burnt offering. We see that in Leviticus chapter 1, the sin offering in Leviticus chapter 4, the trespass offering in Leviticus chapter 5. These are for sins and in various ways. We're not going to go into detail on those tonight. Those are three of them. The fourth is the grain offering. We see that in Leviticus chapter 2. A memorial to God, an aroma, a sweet-smelling aroma to the Lord. But the fifth is the peace offering. We see that in Leviticus chapter 3. Now peace, it's called peace offering, translated as peace offering here, as we see that in verse 11 of Leviticus chapter 7. This is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings. The word peace here is not the word shalom, which we think of peace, but it's a word that is similar to it. And so many have translated this in English as peace. But I don't want you to come to this text and think that this is somehow an offering to gain peace with God. No. That offering was given in the Day of Atonement, an offering for sin, a burnt offering. So it's not to gain peace with God, but this word that's translated here, peace, has to do with the peace that comes through prosperity. In fact, I think John Calvin is right when he says here it is the sacrifice or the offering for prosperity. For prosperity. Now, there are three types of of peace offerings. I want you to see that in verse 12. The first, if he offers it for a thanksgiving offering, that's the one we're going to focus on tonight. But secondly, we see in verse 16 that there is also a sacrifice for a vow or a voluntary offering. Now, the vow was one in which someone would make a vow to God to do something. They would do it. God would enable them to do it. They would come back and they would offer an offering to God, a peace offering. Think of Jacob who made the vow at Bethel. Then when God brought him home again, he poured out the oil on top of the stone pillar. Or think of Hannah. She made a vow to God, give me a son, I will bring him back here and dedicate him to you. And when she comes back with her husband Elkanah, she brings this peace offering. She brings bowls and she brings wine and she brings all of these things and has an extravagant offering before the Lord. And the third one is then this one that is called a voluntary offering, a free will offering. Psalm 54:6 speaks of this. I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. This is an offering that really had nothing behind it, but simply the gratitude of the person's heart. There wasn't a specific vow that was completed. There wasn't something specific that happened. The person just said, God, I want to thank you. Psalm 119, 108, the psalmist cries, accept, I pray, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord. Now, it's easy to thank God when we receive something. But I wonder, do you simply, out of the abundance of your heart, out of the simple gratitude of your heart, just go along one day and think, I want to praise and thank God right now. I just want to. That's what's being spoken of here. Finding oneself simply overflowing with gratitude for what God has done, almost as if you cannot help it, but start to sing his praises. But I want to focus on this peace offering for thanksgiving. The peace offering for thanksgiving is a little bit background on it. It is, in one way, like the burnt offerings and the grain offering. And that it was burned. It was burned up to produce a soothing aroma to the Lord. But unlike the burnt offerings, unlike the grain offerings, it was not offered daily. In fact, it was voluntary. You could come when you wanted to, except on one, at one time, the Feast of Weeks. We see this in Leviticus 23:19. The Feast of Weeks, also known as Pentecost, the time of harvest. Now, can you think why God would command that people come and give this peace offering of thanksgiving at that time? The harvest is coming in. We've already sung about that quite a bit. And I think back to the days in which the RCUS began in a time in which farming was the major activity. In fact, many of the churches were in Pennsylvania. William Penn invited people to come there, and if you know anything about Pennsylvania, you know there's a lot of farmland. And at the time of harvest, that's when things came in. And so it was right that people would offer this. But this peace offering for thanksgiving was given to God as a response to his mercy. Psalm 107 details this. I'm not going to have you turn there, but I encourage you to read through Psalm 107 later. Psalm 107 is a psalm we began our worship tonight with, a call to worship from Psalm 107. And in Psalm 107, it details many reasons for responding to God's mercy with thanksgiving. Safety on a journey through the wilderness. Deliverance from captivity. Recovery from sickness. Deliverance from poverty. How about this one? Deliverance at sea. That would be one that I would be thankful for as one who served in the Navy. That one that Brother Luca may soon be thankful for. Deliverance at sea. But turn with me to Jonah chapter 2. Jonah was delivered from the sea in a way that, Lord willing, none of us will have to be delivered from the sea. We call Jonah is fleeing from God. He's fleeing from doing God's will, and he's cast overboard. He ends up in the belly of the fish. Or look with me at Jonah, chapter 2. This is Jonah praying to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly in Jonah chapter 2, verse 1. And he said, "I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters surrounded me even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy." Now here it is. "But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry ground. And here we have Jonah, who is offering thanksgiving to God before God has even brought him out. And so we learn that we are not simply to offer thanksgiving to God after the deliverance, but even before the deliverance, thanking him that he has promised to do these things. Hezekiah also in 2 Chronicles 29 says this: "Now that you have consecrated yourselves to the Lord, come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord." So the assembly brought in sacrifices and thank offerings. As many as were of a willing heart brought burnt offerings. The psalmist understands this. Psalm 56, 12 and 13. "Vows made to you are binding upon me, O God. I will render praises to you. For you have delivered my soul from death. Have you not kept my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" So I hope you see here that this thanksgiving is offered to God in response to God's mercies that he has already given us, and God's mercies that he promises to give us in the future, as he did with Jonah. But it's interesting to note also, as we continue looking at the book of Leviticus chapter 7, there's another difference with this offering, with the peace offerings. Back in Leviticus chapter 7, we read this. In verse 15, "The flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until morning." Now there's various opinions as to why it should be left. But I want you to notice first that it must be eaten. This is the only offering that is eaten by the worshiper. The other offerings are eaten by the priest. They're his food. By the Levites. By the line of Aaron. But this is actually eaten by the worshipers. The worshipers come and they offer this, and the priest takes it and then gives it back to the worshiper, and the worshiper gathers people together to share in a fellowship meal. It's important. Keep that in mind. A fellowship meal. Now, why was it required to be eaten on the same day? And as it goes on, these other, the sacrifice for a vow and a voluntary offering should not be left to the third day. We're not told why. I think certainly there's a great picture here of something that is in the grave to the third day. The Lord Jesus Christ, Psalm 16. Holy One shall not see corruption. And so I think the greatest picture here is that this meat was not to see corruption. And so if it was still on the third day, it was to be burned up. But what a beautiful picture we have here of God's fellowship with his people and our fellowship with one another. Here, the worshiper was to come thanking God for the blessings that he had given to him. And God says, "Have a party on me. Take back what you have given and use it to celebrate." What a fulfillment of Deuteronomy 12, verses 5 through 7. Here, God is speaking to his people and saying, you're going to go into the land. And he says, you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses out of all your tribes to put his name for his dwelling place. And there you shall go. There you shall take your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heave offerings of your hand, your vowed offerings, your freewill offerings, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. Now listen to this. There you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in all to which you have put your hand, you and your households, in which the Lord your God has blessed you. Sounds a lot like what we do. Now, certainly tomorrow we're going to gather together with family. We're going to show our thankfulness ultimately to God for what we have. We're going to eat together, maybe tomorrow or as it is with my family on Friday. Some, maybe both. Maybe you're going to different houses. The reality is that there's something built in there, isn't it? We understand gathering together and celebrating together the blessings that we have. And it pictures for us here the generosity of God. God says, come. Yes, come and offer thanksgiving to me. But you're going to rejoice in doing it because I am blessing you. Grace upon grace. Think about it like this. God redeems us. We give him our lives as living sacrifices, and he says, here's your life to use it to worship me and to enjoy me now and forever. That is the good and generous God who we serve. And so these are the Old Testament peace offerings. They were given by worshipers in response to God's mercy to them. They were brought, and as they were brought by the worshipers joined in by taking back a portion of them after the priest had taken some and eating together and worshiping them. Now, God did not need these things. We read earlier from Psalm 50. He owns everything. Cattle on a thousand hills. He wouldn't tell us if he was hungry. What did God want? He didn't want these offerings. He wanted the hearts of those who were offering them to him. He wanted the hearts of his people. And the same is true for worshipers in the New Testament. So we have the Old Testament. Now, we don't do those things. Jesus Christ has come. The ceremonial law pointed to him. In fact, all five of the sacrifices, the burnt offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering, the grain offering, and the peace offerings, all pointed and found their fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we don't do that. I'm very thankful because being a priest in the Old Testament was a messy job. You were basically a butcher. That's what you did. Why don't we have to butcher animals now? Because the blood has been shed. The blood has been shed. Christ has come. The one sacrifice to end all sacrifices has been given for God's people. But although that has all changed and the way that we express thanksgiving is different, we are called as God's people in the New Testament to express thanksgiving. How do we do that? Well, we do it for everything that we receive. Everything that we receive. In fact, 1 Timothy 4:4 says, speaking of food particularly, every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. This is why we pray before meals. Not because if we don't, the food will poison us. Not because if we don't, somehow we'll get sick. But because we are to receive everything with thanksgiving. When you wake up in the morning, it's because God's mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Thank you, God, for allowing me to wake up. When you lay your head down on the pillow at night, the only reason that you live throughout the day is because God sustains you. Thank you, God, for sustaining me throughout the day. This ought to be our mindset for all that we receive. We do so in singing songs of praise to God. Hebrews 13:15. Let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And in all of this, we are continually taking what God has given to us and casting it as crowns to his feet. But God doesn't just say, I'm taking it all and you can have nothing. No, look how gracious he is to us. Look at all that he gives us, every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Even as we bring tithes and offerings into his house, although he has a right to 100%, he says, I'm going to give it to you to enjoy the things that I have created. What a generous God we have. Ephesians 5, verses 17 through 21 summarize this. Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And what is being filled, that is being filled with the Spirit, present tense, what does it look like? People who are filled with the Spirit of God will be speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You want to see somebody who is filled and being filled with the Spirit? Look for somebody who gathers together with God's people and sings to be heard by them. Look for someone who thanks God continually for all that they have. That's going to be a mark of being filled with the Spirit. Notice the opposite, consuming, being drunk with wine, consuming what God gives you on yourself and your own pleasures instead of using it for his glory. But I want to point you to one final act of thanksgiving that we have in the New Testament, and that's the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper. As I mentioned earlier, there is no sacrifice, unlike the peace offering and the other offerings. Now remember, the peace offering would have a sacrifice. There is no sacrifice any longer because the sacrifice has been given. In fact, we might say that Christ's death on the cross is more akin to the burnt offering. He offered himself up fully and wholly for God's people. But the Last Supper, instituted by our Lord Jesus Christ, is more like the peace offering. Because he invites his people to share in it with him. What a beautiful picture that is. Both the peace offering and the Last Supper were meals. In fact, there's a Greek word, Eucharist. Perhaps you've heard of it. It simply means thanksgiving. What are we doing? But we're coming to God in the supper. Do this in remembrance of me. In remembrance of what? In remembrance of what Christ has done. And as we remember what Christ has done, it brings thanksgiving to us, doesn't it? So we come as a thankful people. Notice also this commonality. Look with me at Leviticus chapter 7. Leviticus chapter 7 and verse 20. Speaking of the person who would come, either the person bringing the offering or someone who was invited, because you would invite your friends and family to come to this thanksgiving offering. The person who eats the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offering that belongs to the Lord, while he is unclean, that person shall be cut off from his people. They were not clean. They were defiled. That's a picture of sin. And so, in the same manner, in the New Testament, we see, if you turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Just as an unclean person ought not to approach the peace offering, the thanksgiving offering, so an unclean person in the New Testament ought not to approach the Lord's table. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. Paul here is instructing the church on observing communion or the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. He says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" You proclaim his death and you proclaim thanksgiving for it. But notice verse 27. "Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." An unworthy manner. Coming outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Coming as one who is unclean. That's why Paul says, "Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." The same warning, isn't it? If you're unclean in the Old Testament, don't approach. Don't come near. And if you're unclean in the New, do not approach. if you are not in Christ, if you are not trusting in Him and His work, if you're not coming to the Lord's Supper with a heart that is thankful for what He has done, don't you dare approach. You will eat and drink judgment to yourself. And as the Old Testament says, they were to be cut off from their people. What does that look like in the New Testament? They are to be exiled from the church, excommunicated. No longer considered one of God's people, a serious thing. And so this is a solemn offering, isn't it? It's one that the people in the Old Testament ought not to have taken for granted, and they didn't, and it's one that we ought not to take for granted. When we come to God, particularly in the Lord's Supper, we come to a holy God, who Scripture says is a consuming fire. We read earlier that a fire devours before Him. We read in Psalm 1 that He will devour the wicked like chaff that the wind blows away. But it is a joyful time for those who are in Christ. Because we come to the table of the Lord and He feeds us. He feeds us on Christ. He feeds us on that heavenly bread. Above all, that should be our motive for thanksgiving, shouldn't it? No matter what is going on in your life, if you're a Christian, you have a reason to be thankful, always. God created us and sustains us. Yes, all men should be thankful for that. But if you're a Christian, if you're in Christ, God not only has created you and sustained you, but He has redeemed you, and He has taken your life, hidden it with Christ, and given it to you to enjoy spending not only now, but eternity in His presence. What more is there to be thankful for than that? And so God is saying to us tonight, what do you say? What do you say? How are you? Yes, thank you. Exactly, thank you. And how do we do that? How do we do that? Well, it's not just with words. We're going to sing tonight. It's not just with words, but it's from a heart. It's a mouth overflowing out of a heart that has truly been changed and is filled with thankfulness and gratitude for what God has done. Not only in what He has done in creating us, not only in what He has done in sustaining us, but supremely what He has done in the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember this, when we bring our offering of thanksgiving to God, we are not losers for it. We are gainers, aren't we? Just as those who brought the offering of thanksgiving in the Old Testament shared in a meal, so we who come to God and thank Him gain so much. Do you see how gracious and full God is? God doesn't say, I want to take from you. He says, I want to give to you. That is who I am. That is the God who we thank. He feeds us. He gives us Christ. He is the slain lamb upon whom we feed. He is the meal we share. And so our response then with the psalmist should be this. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. What are we doing here tonight? We're praising God in the assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear Him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek Him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, help us to see the beauty of Christ demonstrated both in the Old and the New Testament. The reality, God, that we come as those who have received the great sacrifice. We come as those who bring our offerings, not bulls and goats or cakes mixed with oil, but we bring our hearts to You. Help us, God, this night, as we close out this time of worship, to sing not with our lips, but with our hearts. And help us, God, all of the days of our life and into eternity to praise You and to thank You for all that You have given to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.